On the flight deck, listeners are manning up for the podcast launch. It's time for all unnecessary shows to clear the airwaves.
You're listening to The Hangar Bay, a podcast dedicated to the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. From developers to the community and everything in between, The Hangar Bay will get you squared away.
Welcome down to The Hangar Bay, your source for the latest news that every military flight simulation pilot can use for the week of February 3rd, 2024. I'm your host, Dumanji, and I'm happy you could join us for another episode of The Hangar Bay. As always, we've got a lot to cover, so let's get things started like we do each and every week with the flyby. The flyby is where we aim to cover the highlights from this week's news in 60 seconds or less. Starting us off this week is the 2024 Flight Sim Expo, which lost its home for the show scheduled in June after the Tropicana Hotel announced it would be closing its doors in April. The Flight Sim Association has already started the search for a new venue, and the team is currently committed to keeping the event on schedule and in Las Vegas. We wish the best of that team as they work through that problem. Heepler's CEO dropped by the Air Combat Sim podcast for about an hour this week and discussed their lineup of modules covering the F-4E in detail, along with updates about both the F-14 and the A-6. Go over and check it out if you haven't already given it a listen. Polychop released an FAQ for their upcoming OH-58 Kiowa with highlights including the module will not see an early access release or a pre-purchase period, and that when it does launch, it will debut at $70 US. And finally this week, OJ from the We Run Liberation community created a fantastic set of DCS Retribution tutorials on his YouTube page. More information about those tutorials and the We Run Liberation community will come up later in the podcast. So that wraps up the flyby. Let's get into the meat of the show, and we start off with the developer news.
Hey everyone, Wags here.
In the developer news segment, we bring you the latest happenings from game developers and related third parties. Getting things started this week is the aforementioned Heepler appearance on the Air Combat Sim podcast. The Heepler CEO spent about an hour with the guys over there. If you haven't already given it a listen, I've got the link to the YouTube show in the show notes, which you can find on thehangarbaypod.com. And just as a reminder, you can find the show notes there each and every week. And you can also see as I scroll through them on the video show for this podcast, which is available on YouTube and Spotify. But getting back to Heepler, the appearance over there, he started things off with an interesting element about the F-14, specifically stating they're working on the TARPS pod gameplay features, or the elements they hope to bring with that pod when they release it for the F-14. He teased a variety of interesting recon-ish elements that they're hoping to bring to the game, not only for the F-14, but then allowing Eagle Dynamics and other third parties to take advantage of it. And then at the very end, he may have been confirming the F-14D, teased that a little bit, but no official confirmation still. I know a lot of us are eagerly awaiting news about when that might be coming and released, but nothing yet. They did spend a significant amount of time, as you might expect, talking about the upcoming F-4E Phantom. First and foremost, they had a really in-depth discussion about what Jester 2.0, as they're calling it, is going to bring to this aircraft. They got a lot of lessons learned from their experience developing Jester for the F-14, and it sounds like we're going to really take advantage of this we're really going to benefit from it as a community with a lot of new features, with not only how you interact with Jester, you can use your mouse now if that's something you've been missing, but how they've developed it and the API behind it. It sounds like the community is going to be able to also contribute in their own way, a la what they're planning for the manual, and then this will be a really feature-rich system which can continue to grow with Heepler into other aircraft, specifically as it relates to the A6, which we'll talk about here in a second. Similar to the TARPS pod for the F-14, they also teased a new system they're working on for the F-4, specifically is the Electronic Warfare RWR system. The AGM-45 Shrike, a precursor to the AGM-88 HARM, will be one benefit as we do the Wild Weasel missions in this aircraft. So if we're going to do that, they wanted to do it right. They mentioned that they've really fleshed out that system with unique sounds, gameplay, modeling of the radar systems, the frequencies they use. It just spent a lot of time working on this system. So when we see it debuted with F-4E, it sounds like we're going to have a much more enriching electronic warfare aspect of the game, which I really welcome. But probably the part that was most interesting to me was the naval version of the Phantom. That's the one I'm most looking forward to. They did reaffirm that this will be a separate module. So unlike the F-14, where we got the A, the B, and possibly the D all-in-one module, the Navy version of the Phantom will be a separate module whenever it's released later on down the line. The reason primarily being it's economical reasons, right? That's what they stress. You know, they're given the size of their team and the amount of work that would be required to do the Navy Phantom justice, they mentioned that it's just not economically viable for them to essentially create a full second module and bake it into the single module. So I just want the Navy version of the Phantom, however we get it. The reason I don't have any insights into their business model, but it's understandable. You know, these teams spend a lot of time and effort putting these modules together. It's justifiable in the sense, given the current setup of DCS, that sometimes that's going to necessitate breaking up these modules into separate products. Anyway, nothing related to the release timeline or when we might expect that. That's just teasing that it will come out as a separate module when it does release later on down the road. Missions. They talked about, the CEO mentioned that training missions will be the only missions present with the F4E at launch, but they sound like they will be detailed missions. And as we mentioned, Matt, last week, they'll be directly linked to the manual. So you'll be able to bring up the manual in the cockpit, flip it open, follow along in the training missions. So you'll have all those at your disposal. It sounds like it's really going to revolutionize how we learn aircraft. And given that Heap Wars isn't shy about making very detailed systems, that might be very useful indeed with this aircraft. Single missions and campaign missions will follow on at a later date, so those won't be available at the start. Didn't really specify what that timeline might be, but just something to note. And they also covered a variety of other systems as it related to the F4, specifically the simulated crew chief, a deep dive discussion on the weapon systems, the pilot WISO task workload. A lot of other F4 features we won't cover here, so again, give the show a listen if you haven't already. But finally, they did touch on the A6 module. He mentioned that it is going to be a full fidelity module, which we already knew, but unfortunately, it's at the end of their development roadmap for now. So the way I interpreted that is we'll slot in after the F4E, obviously, and then after the Navy version of the F4. Don't know if that means it would also slot in after the release of the Eurofighter, but long story short, it didn't sound like we're going to get it anytime soon. But they are still committed to it. In many ways, they're hoping to leverage all they learned from this new gesture system I was talking about a few moments ago, which makes sense given the tandem setup and the workload associated with the A6. The exact version of the A6 is still up in the air a little bit. They hope to continue refining that as development moves along. All that said, the AI module should be coming our way pretty soon. I know that's something that's been teased for a long time. So hopefully when we hear soon, we're actually talking about quarter one of this year. I'd like to see that in game, and I know many of you feel the same way. So that wraps things up for the Air Combat Sim Heatboard podcast. Let's shift things over to the weekly update for DCS. Pretty slow week as far as these newsletters are concerned, but there's a few interesting things. For those of you who have been tracking Miltech 5's upcoming BO-105 helicopter, they did release a couple new screenshots. Aircraft looks really great from a model standpoint. I'll be honest, I haven't been following this one a whole lot, but given that I'm a Hilo Bubba, any new helicopter addition to the game is welcomed by me. RASBAM announced their continuing development work on the South Atlantic map. I'll be honest, this is the only map in DCS that I don't currently own. It's been something that I've wanted to own, but a lot of people in the community have said it needed more time to bake, needed more time to develop. And frankly, the price has been a little off-putting to me, even when it's been on sale. I'd be curious, do any of you out there, are you using it? Are you flying it? You know, every time I look on the multiplayer servers, it doesn't seem to be getting a lot of interest. And with the upcoming Cola campaign map, I think that's going to scratch the itch for me as far as that winter mountainy map I've been looking for is concerned. So anyway, I hope the folks over there at RASBAM do continue developing it. I want them to succeed. I think more maps is a good thing for the community. So we'll keep an eye on this one. And again, give me some feedback on if you're using it, what you like about it, what you don't. Finally, and probably the most interesting part of the update for me, was the digital controller shout out. So I was not aware of this group, but digital controllers, as they put on their website, are a group of ATC and command and control enthusiasts with a passion for providing high quality and immersive experience in DCS. And their goal, or their mission, I should say, is to standardize ATC and tactical control across DCS, resulting in a friendly hub that brings the DCS community closer together. So what does that all mean? Well, essentially, they put together a training guide, and I imagine what they're hoping to do is provide like a standardized set of verbiage and control mechanisms, which controllers or people who are interested in the ATC aspect of this game can utilize, and it'll be standardized across the board. So their goal was to bring a lot of these DCS multiplayer groups and communities together to utilize these common vernacular verbiage procedures. And they have a pretty in-depth guide, which I've linked to in the show notes. I encourage everybody to go check it out. We'll see how much traction this gets, but I love it. This is the type of thing that I think when we do it right in the community, it's really fantastic to see people coming together trying to make in an immersive, better experience for everyone involved. So if you're into that MilSim light kind of aspect or just want to curious to see what they're going for, go hop on over the website digital-controllers.com, and I've also got a link to their Discord page. As far as World War II news is concerned, there wasn't any IL-2 Great Battles dev diaries at the time of recording here on Saturday. Although on a side note, I did try IL-2 Cliffs of Dover Blitz this week, so maybe that counts for some World War II content. Don't know how many of you own this game. I picked it up on a recent Steam sale. I had a good time. You know, I struggle with World War II combat in general. I'm a terrible shot. I'll be the first to admit that. So I set up some quick training missions, trying to get behind bombers, shoot them down. I probably could spend an hour down there and hit them twice. And it doesn't help when they shoot back, right? So anyway, hopefully we'll have some more news on the IL-2 front next week. Shifting things over to some third-party news. Polychop dropped an FAQ for their OH-58D Kiowa on their Discord page. Now, this was brought to my attention by the fantastic Stormbirds blog. Want to give a quick shout out to Shamrock over there if you're not already following him and what he does for the community. It's a fantastic website. He's got you covered on all elements of flight simulation, including the civilian side, which we don't discuss here. But if you're interested in Microsoft Flight Simulator, explains things of that nature, in addition to DCS, IL-2, and hardware, he's a great person to follow. Can't recommend him enough. Anyway, as it relates to Polychop and their OH-58, they had a pretty long list of frequently asked questions that they put out on the Discord. Some quick takeaways, which I thought many of you might already be interested in if you didn't already know. Multi-crew, yes, it is planned for release of the aircraft. That said, they do not plan to have a George-like AI at release. They're hoping to bring that up as their highest priority post-launch. The aircraft, when it will release, will not be in early access, and it will not be in a pre-purchase pre-release. It's going to debut at $70. It's going to come right out the door. You buy it, get right into the full release of the aircraft, no early access. We'll see how that plays out for them. I think that would be a welcome change in the community. But we'll just have to see what we get once that aircraft does debut. And no, they did not tease a release date. They did mention that it will be a data cartridge at launch, which I think is great. Third-party developers, I hope you all take a page out of this playbook. Eagle Dynamics still waiting on your system as well. I think this is something we're definitely lacking from a pre-flight planning perspective. That says, as it relates to Polychop, what they're planning is a JSON-like file. So if you're not aware, it's just a text file with some structure that will include saved data such as routes, waypoints, target points, radio frequencies, any notepad data on your kneeboard. All that can be loaded up when you launch the aircraft. Should be right there all for you in-game. I think it's a great addition. And then finally, they did state that they are testing force feedback. It's in progress right now. So as a VP Force Rhino owner, can't thank you enough, Polychop. And the VP Force Rhino, if you're interested, maybe that's something we can talk about in a future episode, give you my perspective. And I probably owe you guys a video at some point on the old YouTube page. All right, so that thing wrap things up for the developer news. Let's shift on over to hardware news this week.
Flight controls. Flight controls.
If you can move it, toggle it, push it, rotate it, hardware news is where we're going to talk about it. So starting things off in hardware news this week, it's Monster Tech. So Monster Tech unveiled quick change mounts. So I know many in the community already own some of these desk mounts or other hardware developed by Monster Tech. So their unique system or addition they're bringing to their setup, a suite of hardware, is these quick change mounts, which will allow you to quickly and easily swap out your joystick or throttle mounting plates. So if you're like me, you own several different joysticks. You got your F-16 stick, your F-18 stick, your Verpal stick, whatever the case may be. You also have your different throttles. Sometimes can swapping those in and out, especially when they're mounted to your desk, can be a pain. This makes it tool-free. You just lift it on out, drop in the next one. This just released on the European store for $63 US. It drops in at about 59 euros. I got the links in the blog post. I've also got a direct link to the tweet that they put up on their social media page, so you can see this little video in action. So if you're already invested in the Monster Tech ecosystem, this might be something you'd be interested in. On the Windwing side of the house, the Windwing rudder pedals that I talked about last week going on sale are still available in the U.S. store at the time of recording if you're interested. The global store has them on back order. Anecdotally on social media and on the HOTAS Discord, I've seen a number of people already starting to post their initial impressions of the rudder pedals. Some of the takeaways, at least I've seen, have been that overall the feeling is pretty positive. They are, it seems like, better suited to mounting, which I feel like most rudder pedals have been up to this point in your sim pit. If you want to put them on the carpet due to their weight, they tend to slide around the bottom undercarriage of the rudder pedals themselves. They tend to slide around on carpet. So some kind of mount would be beneficial depending on your setup, just something to keep in mind. And that the springs themselves also do not ship with customizable versions. So it's essentially one set of cams, one set of springs. So if the tension isn't really what you'd like it to be, and it sounds by default, it's very strong, you might have to do some DIY work to get that to be dialed into exactly what you want, which would be sourcing your own springs or coming up with another solution. Now, hopefully in the future, we'll see Winwing add some customizable hardware that allow you to dial in exactly what you want. But right now, it just ships with what's in the box, one set of the default cams and springs. That said, on an unrelated note, but still touching on Winwing, I want to provide my own experience with their customer service recently. So I don't know if I want to spend too much time and turn this into a wine fest, but I think it's important whenever these things pop up to share them with the community. And I especially want to do that on my show, share my experiences with my Flight Sim hardware and the Flight Sim vendors that I purchased from. So if you don't know, I own several pieces of Winwing gear. I have multiple joystick bases, multiple joystick grips. I have three throttles from them currently, the F-16, the F-18. And then over Christmas time, I just picked up the new F-15 EX throttle grip with an Orion 2 base. Now, up to this point, never had an issue. The hardware has been fantastic. I'd give their hardware a very strong grade, let's say an A. Feels good to use. I enjoy it. I like how the replica style they're going for. Top notch. So I've never had an opportunity to interact with their customer service, but my new F-15 throttle showed up and the left throttle grip tensioner was broken. I couldn't adjust the tension of the left throttle, so it just flops back and forth. So there's no way to tighten that, makes it borderline unusable. So I thought, no problem, get in contact with customer service, let them know my issue. This thing's never been used, it's fresh out of the box, won't be a problem. Well, contacted them on January 15th. After about 2 weeks of going back and forth, sending them pictures, discussing my issue, providing a video, they finally came back to me and said, yep, we recognize that that's broken. It's not working as intended. Let's get you taken care of. We'll send you a replacement. But here's the kicker. They said, well, happy to send you a replacement as long as you pay for it and you pay for the shipping. I said, wait, hold on. I just got this thing. It's broken out of the box. What do you mean I need to pay for it? So here is the way Winwing's customer service approaches your quote-unquote warranty. According to Winwing, at least in the conversations I've had, every piece of their hardware when it leaves the factory floor is inspected and quality controlled. It doesn't leave unless it's met quality control. So if a piece of equipment shows up at your doorstep and it's not functioning as intended, that wasn't a factory issue. That's an operator error. Yep, that's right. I must have done something, i.e. you must have done something to break it, because it never left the facility broken, because they don't do that. So that's where things currently stand. I'm still in back and forth communications with them. I'm hoping to resolve this issue, but it's extremely frustrating. And I just want to, I've seen this enough now that I've been doing some research on both the HOTAS Discord, on the Facebook Winwing group, or the Winwing Facebook group, that I don't think I'm alone in this experience. I've seen several other people post words that are similar enough that it appears that that's the standard company line for Winwing. Now, again, I'm not trying to disparage the whole company or the hardware itself, but think of this as a PSA. If you're interested in Winwing, you're going to play a hardware roulette game. If your hardware arrives and functions perfectly, no problem. I think you'll actually really enjoy it. But if you need their customer service, at least in my experience, prepare to be extremely disappointed. So, all right, I apologize for going down that rabbit hole. Just want to keep you guys informed, and I'll let you know as my experience evolves, and hopefully that'll correct that, and I'll do a mea culpa and say, Winwing, I was wrong, but that remains to be seen. So on more uplifting news on the hardware front, let's talk about what's going on with Honeycomb. So I mentioned in last week's podcast that there was a serious business fallout going on with the team over there, with a business partner. There had been a lack of updates for a long time. Anyway, as recently as Monday, there was an update to their original post that said the owner of Honeycomb has found a solution to replace all faulty products. Sounds like their manufacturing process, they're going to be aligned with a new organization that will help them sort all of that out. What the details are still remain to be seen. He did say it should only be a couple of days till we get the next update, and that he will post updates to the Facebook page, and tech support will send out an email to those who are awaiting a replacement product. And on the rudder pedal note, since we just talked about it with Windwing, they are still committed to working on a solution to get those manufactured. So that's the latest update there. If you're a Honeycomb customer, I encourage you to continue following along on their Facebook page. And you can learn more about that. And as always, I'll keep you covered each and every week here on the Hangar Bay. All right, so that covers it from a developer standpoint. The last two tidbits I have are more of a community-related note, but I did want to cover them. First up is someone called DCS Unscripted on YouTube. They put together a really great VKB Stex review. So that's the Stex is the new STECS. Is the new throttle for VKB. I just found it to be a really thorough, informative review that focuses on what the throttle gives you rather than serving as an infomercial for the product itself. Now, I like those as much as anyone. Show me how the switches sound, show me how many of them there are, what they function like. But this user, DCS Unscripted, his channel goes to the next level and really talks about what his experience has been like utilizing it, some of the drawbacks, some of the benefits. I just thought that was a really interesting conversation, specifically as it relates to talking about his desire for having more axes on the throttle vice the encoders. So anyway, give it a listen. I think you do yourself a service when you get as many viewpoints as possible on hardware in the community. Yes, 10 people, I feel like I can get 10 different opinions. We all have different opinions on how strong we want a spring to feel, or what we want the cam to feel like, or what switches feel good to one person may not feel like the other. Check it out. Give him a follow. He's also got some fantastic coverage or other videos on using DCS modifiers, how to use a zoom axis for some default views. All in all, it's some very useful content, and recommend you give him a shout. Give him a follow, I should say, over on YouTube. And now finally, let's shift things over to a great Thrustmaster TPR damper installation guide. So if you're like me, you have the Thrustmaster TPR rudders. Chris Schmidt over on YouTube produced a great video that shows you how to install one of the DIY sets. I highlight this partially out of my own interest. I've been wanting to do this my pedals for a long time. So thank you, Chris. The link to this again on the show notes, thehangarbaypod.com. But more importantly, I just want to continue to highlight people in the community that give back to the community. You know, it takes a lot of time and effort to put these things together, to put some of these videos together. And Chris has done a significant number of them, not just related to this rudder installation guide, but to other aspects of DCS as well. So he's another one that deserves checking out his content. And if you like what he has to say, be sure to give him a subscribe. So that wraps things up for the hardware news. Let's shift things over onto the news. It's all about people just like you over and in the community.
Really not tracking what they're doing exactly.
So this is where we cover the latest goings-on of the community, from campaigns and mods to servers, software, and everything in between. Kicking things off this week for the community news startup is the Flight Sim Expo Surprise. So as I detailed in the flyby, the first piece of news is, lo and behold, shocking news to all those who were interested in attending the Flight Sim Expo was the Tropicana Hotel backed out. Yeah, breaking news on Monday night was that the Tropicana Las Vegas, who was going to be the host of this year's show in June, is going to be closing their doors in April to make way for a new baseball stadium. So what a brutal surprise to the Flight Sim Association, who've been planning this for a really long time. Just tremendously unfortunate. However, in a credit and testament to the great work they do over there and how well organized they are, they're already on top of it. They've already been working with the tourism board down there. And from what's being said, the Tropicana staff is being incredibly helpful. Their goal so far, as I mentioned earlier, is committed to staying in Las Vegas for the same dates of the show. Once they've actually confirmed what the new venue will be and how that will affect current lodging, things of that nature, they'll provide an update. But the team is committed to maintaining the same dates, staying in Las Vegas. We'll keep you updated as the show moves forward. I highlight this because I first heard about the show last year. followed along. I did their virtual pass. And while I'd say about 70% of the content was focused on the civilian side, they did have a lot of great content about SimPet hardware, you know, making your own cockpit, doing stuff around the house. But then also several hardware vendors from the military side, SimFab, Thrustmaster, Burple, made a appearance at the show. And it, from some of the feedback the team put out after last year's show, they are trying to have a stronger presence on the military flight sim side of the house. So I think the more we can give them support, show them that we'd be interested in that content, the more likely they are to follow through with that in future years and cover the aspect of the sim that people like me, people like you enjoy the most. So all about supporting this team. Hope they can get this situation resolved, and I wish them the best in the days and weeks ahead as they plan that. Okay, shifting things over to Death Donkey Prince. That's right. If you haven't heard of him, deathdonkeyprince.com is his website. Also has an Etsy store, but I encourage you to check out the website. Tons of great information on his product line, exactly what he's doing. He puts together some fantastic custom additions to your flight sim setup. So a lot of his stuff is focused on Verpal, but it does fit a variety of needs. So if you got toggle switches, you got buttons in your cockpit setup at home, Death Donkey Prince is likely to provide you with some really nice custom additions to your cockpit. The first new product addition that I'm highlighting this week is his hat switch caps. So he's designed these. If you're anything like me, you have an 8-way hat on your Verpal gear. It's really easy to actuate in a direction you don't want to go because they're non-gated hats, right? They allow you to either push up and move left or right. Maybe you wanted to go up, but now you get kind of like a diagonal or accidentally switch to the left. He's designed some custom 3D printed hats that'll help you resolve and or result in much greater accuracy in your movements. You know, it's not going to turn it into a gated hat, but it'll make your movements a lot easier and more direct. Those are available in a variety of styles and colors. So if you want a castle hat, you want a round hat, you want them to be blue, black, white, whatever the case may be, check it out on the store. They're about $4 a piece. He's also got some plane specific throttle detents for sale. Now, these are geared more toward the Verpal CM3, which I have, and the custom detents on that throttle are really, really nice additions. The detents that Death Donkey's made are specific for a variety of different aircraft, such as the F-14, the F-15, the F-18, the F-16. He's also got some more generic options, like an afterburner only without the engine cutoff, a tri-notch. Anyway, variety of detents and other hardware. Some things I haven't mentioned yet are face plates for your Verpal control panels, your throttle. He's got toggle covers, as I mentioned. So if you got these toggle switches, but you want something that gives you a little bit of feeling, you fly in VR and you want to know where that gear handle is or your tail hook, that's where these toggle switch covers come into play. They fit right on top of your existing toggle switch. You can feel that in VR. If you're a non-VR pancake user like me, then it just looks cool. And I think we're all agreeing that, having a cool setup is what it's all about. So give him a follow. Check it out over on deathdonkeyprince.com. He's incredibly active on the HOTAS Discord, which is where I generally see him post a lot. Anyway, a big fan of all his stuff. I own a couple of his red toggle covers that I use in my own Verpal CM3 throttle, so I can stand behind. He makes quality products, and it could offer to someone like you a really interesting addition to your setup. All right, so that ends things on the community news standpoint. Let's switch over to the user content of the week. So sometimes it's a mission, sometimes it's a tutorial, sometimes it's just an interesting topic of conversation here in the content of the week. This week we actually have some content for you in the form of some videos. So Holy Orange Juice, which I love that name, or OJ for short, is from the We Run Liberation Group. So WRL, if you haven't heard of them. They're a group that runs, as the name would suggest, liberation campaigns. Specifically, they run the fourth version, which is DCS Retribution. Now, if you haven't heard of DCS Retribution, it's a fantastic piece of software. It essentially allows you to make your own mini dynamic campaign. You get like a GUI, so a graphical user interface, where you get to pre-plan your missions, move units around for a variety of campaigns set on a variety of the maps in the DCS universe. So you can fire up a campaign that several people in the community have already built. It'll pre-populate the map with an enemy and your forces. And then what you do is you buy a variety of aircraft and ground forces, and you essentially go to battle against the AI. Now, where this comes to play with the WRL community is they're a group where they go ahead and do all that pre-flight mission planning for you. OJ or some of the other hosts design these campaigns and they host them. and they run them as a community. So each and every week over on the WeRunLiberation.com website, they also have a Discord, which I've linked in the show notes. They get a group together and they fly weekly. They fly 2 to 3 sorties a night, and each one of these sorties can be about an hour to an hour and a half long. And, you know, they welcome new pilots, new Retribution users. It's a really relaxed environment. So you don't have to have had any multiplayer or group experience. You don't have to know your military communications, how to formation fly, how to tank. You just have to come show up with one of the aircraft they're flying in the mission that night. Register beforehand on the website, WeRunLiberation.com, and have a good time. So I've flown with these guys multiple evenings, and it's just a blast. A really laid back community that's just about having fun in DCS together, and that's what it's all about. So they don't have a set schedule. Their events are usually held about 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time when they do happen. But you know, if you can't be there the whole time, that's okay. If you can show up at 8 o'clock for one flight, do that. If you can show up at 9 o'clock, do that. Drop in, drop out, check out the website, see what you'd be interested in. Now, the content OJ created for this week is all about how to use DCS Retribution. So if you're not familiar with it, you're starting from scratch, or maybe you've used it before, you just want to learn a little bit more, he's got a set of 6 tutorials, which are fantastic. Either being a quick tutorial, hey, give me the TLDR, how do I use this thing, how do I make it work? The full tutorial, which is about an hour long, walking you through every aspect of DCS Retribution. Detailed settings guide, he's got tips and tricks. And then finally, if you're interested in the We Run Liberation group, he's got a video showing you what the pre-mission planning session looks like on Discord. And then he's got a great video showing from his perspective what an event actually looks like if you want to fly it. So again, OJ, thank you for the great content on YouTube. Thank you for the wonderful organization and for all you do for the community. If you're out there, you want to highlight something I might have missed for user content of the week, please reach out to me via feedback@thehangarbaypod.com. That's my email address. Again, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com. You can also find the show on Twitter and Instagram @thehangarbaypod and also on the Facebook page. Again, @thehangarbaypod. All right, so that's the community content of the week. Let's end things on my favorite segment, which is the Sim Pit Spotlight.
You don't see any big stream and flames or smoke coming out, do you?
So the Sim Pit Spotlight is where we highlight a community member's personal Sim Pit setup, no matter how simple or complex, just because we want to celebrate the joy of flying from home. This week, we got someone called Controlled Pairs. So some of you may know Controlled Pairs already from Twitter, @ControlledPairs, or on his YouTube page, Controlled Pairs Gaming. He's showing off a really beautiful Monster Tech flight stand build that he put on the HOTAS Reddit earlier this week. So I mentioned Monster Tech earlier. They have a really cool flight sim stand for those of you who are maybe interested in something that's a little bit beyond desk mounts, but maybe not a full sim pit. What I found unique about his was it incorporates the Winwing MIP. So he basically took his Monster Tech stand that you can buy, added in his Thrustmaster HOTAS with the Hornet grip, his Winwing PTO, the Winwing Top Gun MIP, and his Thrustmaster pedals, put that all together on one nice stand that he could pick up and move out of the way when he wants to play other games. And then when he wants to go flight sims, boom, pick it up, drop it in front of his desk, ready to fly flight sims. So really unique setup that he utilized with a piece of longer extrusion to make sure he could make that Top Gun MIP work from Winwing, and also discusses how he installed the PTO as well. So got links to that on the show notes, as well as some really great pictures that I'm showing right now on the video podcast of what that looks like. So thank you, Control Pairs. Great sim pit. Looks like a great place to go flying every week. All right, so let's shift over to the listener feedback portion of the show.
612 departure radio check.
So as I mentioned earlier, I'd love to get your feedback. Don't be shy. Please reach out to the show and let me know what you think about what we're doing so far. I'd love to know what you think about what aspects of the show do you enjoy. What segments do you like? What segments don't you like? What could I do better? What should we talk about? Is there something I missed that's going on in the community that needs a spotlight shined on it? That's what we want to do. As always, this is the community show as much as it is mine. So any content you want to see featured here, I'd love to hear about it. But that does wrap things up for another episode of the Hangar Bay Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next Saturday to get you squared away with all the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. As I mentioned, this show is a celebration of people like you, the community. So please don't hesitate to reach out with feedback, news, or suggestions for future spotlights. And until then, think about what you put out into the community and make it a better place. Fly safe, everyone.
Right here. Let's go down low, out of the deck. Unload 500 knots. Let's get out of here.
The missile knows where it is at all times. Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that you can find the video show on YouTube or on Spotify at the Hangar Bay Pod. The audio show is available on all major podcast providers. You can contact the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or on Instagram and Twitter at @thehangarbaypod. Show notes and links to everything discussed on this week's show are available at thehangarbaypod.com.